seek your attention to chapter 43 of the prophecy of Isaiah, verses 1 and 2. The prophecy of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verses 1 and 2. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The purpose for reading the previous chapter will surely be seen in these words, but now thus saith the Lord. For the previous chapter said, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Well, if you read words like that concerning the Israel of God, they would surely be due for the punishment that God would administer against them for their ways. Against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. But then once more in this blessed prophecy comes the gospel. And it is that precious gospel that we must address ourselves to and meditate upon at this time. Though they were sinners, though they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law, what does he say to them? Not what he says of them. He said enough of them, enough about them to give unto us some indication of what we are by nature. But what has he said to them? But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And you that fear the Lord, are you one whit better than the Israel of God? You pick up your stone this morning and throw it at the Israel of God for their rebellious heart, for their hard, indifferent nature, for their forgetfulness of their God, for their disobedience to their God, for often they wish themselves back in Egypt. But my friends, this is the gospel, and this is spoken to the Jacob of his people and to Israel. Jacob is a type of a child of grace. Israel is the church of God. This is spoken to his people. And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. How wonderful, my friends, is that word. How suitable it is to the dying sinner. How suitable it is to those who fear judgment against their iniquity. And if you know your own heart, as the child of grace must surely know, dear friends, you will know this, that you deserve his justice. You deserve his wrath. You deserve his hand against you. But then, my friends, the hand of the Lord will be against you and I if we are a child of grace, but not in judgment, but in chastening. And will I remind you again, as I often do, this people, the words of Christ, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. And he that formed thee, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee. And here we have that wonderful work of regeneration, a people created of God for his praise and honour and glory, and a people that was formed for his praise. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. And my friends, if you can enter into this blessed word today, that will be your occupation at times here, and it will be your eternal occupation. And he that formed thee, I looked at a word in the prophecy of Jeremiah, that poor lamented prophet of God, that burden troubled servant of God. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. My friends, the forming hand, the creating and forming hand of God has purposes in it. When he raises his people out of the dust of unregeneracy, he forms them for himself. He creates them, a people for his eternal praise, a creation that shall never be destroyed. Old creation is marred, and it will one day go up in fire. This creation and this forming shall stand every test and shall eternally be safe. But now, thus saith the Lord. And then there's this wonderful timing, if I might so put it before you as such. We've been reminded of their sinfulness and of their shame, for their disobedience and for their wickedness. But now that there is a time, God has set a time, and none can pass that time, and none can overthrow that time either, when they shall come into this blessed and gracious work of which we have here. I feel that this text, these two verses, are divided in this respect, that the first verse is spiritual and establishes within the soul those spiritual blessings and comforts. And the second verse is the pathway of which these dear souls in Christ shall walk. Fear not. Not in wrath, not in anger, but in thine own covenant love. Fear not. The Lord says, fear not. Dear friends, it is not a word that you will take, nor is it a word that you will steal, but it is a word that you will say, in effect, Lord, apply that fear not. Circumstances, and especially spiritual circumstances, are those teachings and revelations of the blessed Spirit within will cause you to fear. Fear that you are not amongst his people. Fear that you sinned which shall never be pardoned. Fear that you will always know eternally, let alone in time, the frown of God. Fear that you are like Ruth in the second chapter of the book of Ruth, felt not to be like one of Boaz's handmaidens. But the Lord says, fear not. And I believe too, experience will instruct you and teach you My friends, when he gives fear not, it is applied fear not. It's not just a word. You've many things to fear. Dear friends, if you fear God, you will fear evil. If you fear God, you will fear Satan and his malice and his spite and his ways and the means which he uses to distress and trouble you, if you fear God. Because, my friends, without the Lord's appearance, you and I are no match for Satan. But then there is this blessed fear not here, which is connected to something. You know, we sometimes, I suppose, fear where no fear is. It's often my guilt and shame to say so. But this is accompanied by something. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was to suffer for his people, he spoke words of comfort, and for which words he was pleased to support those words by other words. For instance, in the 16th of John, he said, ye now therefore have sorrow. And then he supported it with this, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. They had sorrow because he was leaving them, but they had the consolation and for faith to believe it, that though it was a time of sorrow, yet there would be a time of recovery. I was thinking of those words in the 14th of John, and they are supported by other words. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. My friends, they are supported promises. And so is this one here. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And oh, if you and I came into this blessed possession and comfort this day, well, there'd be nothing to fear, would there? Whilst you and I was under a sweet influence of redeeming love and blood, what is there to fear? Well, my friends, there are many things to fear. Should not the Lord be pleased to speak such sweet words to your soul? We travel on, dear friends, and there's many things to fear. The last day of our life is something to fear. The dear pastor that stood here many years, I hear him now in my mind saying this, in that dread moment, oh, to hide beneath his sheltering blood. And that will take away the fear. That will remove the fear of death and of the unknown eternity. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Do you feel to need such a promise? Is it something that you would lay hold of by faith and beg the Lord that he might not only, as it's recorded in this chapter, thus saith the Lord, but he might even speak it into your soul this morning? No, we can take up these words, read them, and the Lord help us to speak from them. But, oh, my friends, there's no better blessing than if he should be so pleased to so speak them into your heart. And then they're spoken at times when there is great fear, and these words allay that fear. It brings trust to God's people. It brings confidence in their God. It enables them to go on, resting upon this precious word, and whatever circumstances may come, my friends, which they fear and shrink from, they can enter into them in the sweet confidence of this promise. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Oh, what a sacred word that is, that takes in the whole work of salvation, that takes in the work of the blessed Spirit of God, and that takes in everything the Lord Jesus Christ has done and does do for his people. For I have redeemed thee. What a precious word redeem is to a sinner. My friends, it speaks of a price, and it speaks of a work, but it speaks with authority. And this is the authority of this text. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Well, I wonder how many feel the need of redemption, and I wonder how many feel this day, oh, to feel the sweetness of that redemption again. My friends, oh, if you long for redemption, to know the price has been paid, the debt was cleared up, the debt to the broken law, that law which was given to Moses, that law which Eve and Adam broke, our first parents in the garden, and that law which needs to be honoured and must be honoured if you and I are to be found with God's people in glory. But the acknowledgement here is that it is a work that is done for his people. Blessed religion, my friends, blessed experience, if you've got a religion that God has begun and God has maintained and has accomplished everything, so that those blessings and mercies which are found in that covenant of grace, they are yours by blessing grace and faith, and they are yours by revelation and application, and they are yours by sweet experience also. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. What does it mean, poor sinner? Well, it means this, that you once was lost. Once was lost to all hope in yourself. We spoke a few months ago from the words of the apostle when he said, I was alive without the law once. I was alive without the law once, but sin revived and I died. My friends, he was ruined by sin, lost to all intents of redemption within himself, couldn't lift a finger to his own salvation. But there he was to know what it is that did do so, and that's the precious person and work and blood of Jesus Christ. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And then again, dear friends, the certainty of this word. The certainty. Remember, Israel and Jacob were sinners. Remember that they had disobeyed and walked in their own ways and not God's ways, that they were not obedient. But my friends, this is a word to the poor and needy, ruined sinner, quickened sinner by grace, well-taught sinner by the Spirit of truth, divine instruction in their souls. And the answer to the complaint, to the malady of their own sinful nature, is this. This is the blessed remedy. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I was going to say, we mustn't add to Scripture, but that dear man on the cross, that dying thief, it was spoken in turn to him. Oh, it surely was, not in the words of this first verse. When he cried unto Jesus Christ, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, the answer was, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Fear not, I have redeemed thee. Who but those ruined by sin? Who but those who sorrow over sin? Who but those who are brought, as the prodigal was, to repentance and confession of sin, long to hear this voice and long to be under this and within this, the scope of this promise? Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And my friends, you and I must needs go to a place called Calvary to see there the price that was paid. Oh, that you might have it revealed to you, shown to you, made over to you, made known to you, and so blessedly applied to you and to your poor soul, the redeeming person of Jesus Christ. And oh, there, my friends, if you only could, and if I only could, come into the enjoyment of this sweet word, would you not rejoice on the way home? Would you not praise him from whom all blessings flow? And what a cost this redemption, and what a mercy there is in this redemption, that God's beloved Son should unite with holy humanity and for the purpose of redemption. But this from all time was agreed upon in the counsels of Jehovah, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in love to his people, took upon himself this great work, this wondrous burden, to redeem his people from a broken law, and to provide too, in his one offering, the means of forgiveness. You know, when they brought sacrifices to the priest in days that were past, that was only part of it. That sacrifice had to be slain, the blood of that sacrifice had to be applied. You read in the book of Leviticus where the blood of the sacrifice was placed upon the person that brought it. It's a wonderful truth, you know, and it reveals the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just read to you those words in Leviticus which are so like the type of Christ. And we read this, that if any man bring an offering unto the Lord, he shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement. Oh, a type of Christ, my friends, a poor type. Nevertheless a type, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And that wonderful work of Christ was the work of atonement. And it brought about the means and the way of forgiveness. And it brought about the deliverance of his people from the condemnation that the Spirit of God will teach them, that condemnation which is found in that broken law. But it brought also something else, my friends. It brought the means of forgiveness, and that was the precious blood that was shed for many. When I reminded you a moment ago of that word in the 14th of John, you know it says, peace I leave with you, my peace, my friends, that you must always bear in mind that there will be no peace without blood, no peace. You that know the plague of your own heart know this, there isn't any peace. There's that sense of ill within, there is that sense of iniquity within, there's a sense of the Lord's frown against sin. But in that precious blood that was shed for many, there was a bringing of peace. And those of you who can speak humbly of forgiveness will know this, that that brings peace that cannot be explained. We read in the Word, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. That's an inward peace. Blessed be God when it's known. Blessed be God if it's sought for. Oh, I wonder, my friends, this word, redeem. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And it's a work that only takes place once. There's no twice redemption. There is needs be, and this will be experienced too, dear friends, there will be a needs be of restoration. And oh, that blessed word, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The salvation that David knew was a redeeming work. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And dear David, though he was such a sinner, was a saved sinner. He was redeemed by that blood. But his sin brought about a separation from the comfort of that redemption, from the knowledge of that salvation. And so he cried in that prayer of confession, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. This is a word, my friends, this is accomplished for the Jacobs and the Israel of God. There's no maybes, there's no retracting. All the promises of God are without repentance. I trust you believe that. You may be tempted that it is not so, and that he can break his covenant. Man will break the covenant, and man does break the covenant. But God will never break the covenant. And those that are in that covenant are eternally safe. But whilst you and I live in this world and have an old nature to contend with, you will need these words. You'll need these words, dear friends. You'll have to plead them before the Lord in desire for recovering grace, restoring mercy, and a sense again felt in the soul of peace and pardon. For I have redeemed thee. But oh, that view at Calvary, would you not desire see from his head, his hands, his side, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? My friends, that is what's in this word redemption. That he sent his only begotten Son into the world for that purpose. I looked at the epistle of Peter and to those sweet and precious truths which he was enabled to write because he knew it by experience, how it was that he was redeemed. In chapter 1 of that first epistle, he says, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Behold, a scene of matchless grace, 'tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Oh, behold that scene. I believe, my friends, there have been some times when by faith one has beheld such a scene. But oh, the mercy of it. You know, those who behold that scene in the saving power and the love of it, those who behold that scene by living faith in the blessing of it and in the interest in it, my friends, will stand one day at the judgment day and will see the Saviour who is then to be the judge, and they shall be on his right hand, redeemed with Jesus' blood redeemed. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Oh, and the dear apostle said in the Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews, did he not? Without shedding of blood there's no remission. No remission. He was speaking to the Jews who were steeped in, writing to the Jews who were steeped in the traditions of the fathers. But he was speaking to those who were delivered from the tradition of the fathers and brought under the gospel and into the possession of those gospel blessings. For I have redeemed thee. Well, my friends, if he spoke it to you today, I would speak this very kindly and lovingly. My friends, what else is there to fear? If the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed you from the Adam fall, if he's paid the price for your iniquity, laid down his life for your sins, and suffered in your room place instead, is there anything else to fear? Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. The work was his. From all eternity his work. But also you've got to say this, dear friends. Oh, and if you can enter into it, bless the Lord for it. if the Spirit of truth lays these things upon you and you can receive them in faith, my friends, you can say this: though his work was prepared for all eternity, well, surely then the blessed people of God, the Jacobs, the individual members of his mystical body, and the whole Israel of God, the Church of God, was therefore eternally safe from all eternity. Before all worlds, the glorious plan that Christ for man should bleed. Before there was a dust of earth put together, before there was a breath breathed on this world of sin and woe, before our first parents was created out of the dust, my friends, it was accomplished and finished. And yet sin hadn't even entered into the world. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. It's the same blessed God who created thee. It's the same sacred God who formed thee. His own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, the apostle writes. And oh, then, my friends, as it's written to Jacob, it's so sacredly personal and so necessarily merciful and blessed. Calvary was a place of deep distress. The Saviour speaks, or it is recorded of the Saviour, of the sorrow and the pain and the anguish that he bore. It was a place of condemnation. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the place and room of his people, was upon him condemnation that was due to them. It was a place of curse, for the law said, cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. It was a place of substitution. Substitution. My friends, it's a wonderful word that unites salvation. It unites the Saviour to the sinner, to the poor and the needy of the people of God. Substitution. The Lord Jesus Christ in the place of his people. For I have redeemed thee. Not I may do anything, but it is an accomplished word. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. This is not written to everybody. This is written to Jacob, to Israel. For I have redeemed, I have called thee by thy name. And that call, dear friends, was effectual. There was none that could withstand that call. You go back, as I do sometimes, in contemplation, in years gone by of the solemn ministry of the word we sat under, and it never affected us one bit. And the reason being is because we were dead sinners. It cannot affect someone who is dead in trespasses and sins. It's when there is a calling. It's when those who were dead are now under a calling, my friends. It is then when the gospel, it is then when the law is to be effectual in the justice of God against sin. It is then when the gospel is to be preached and known and entered into in the glory of mercy, my friends, but it's not before. I remind you, we just got time to look at the a word in the Corinthians, the first epistle of the Corinthians, and it's in chapter 1, it's the apostles' words concerning calling. For ye see your calling, brethren. Well, I wonder, my friends, would be a blessed day if you could see that as well, wouldn't it? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Well, there's a catalogue of whom he has called. In themselves as weak as worms, how can poor believers stand? Dear friends, if thou art called, they will stand. I have called thee by thy name. And there's only one name you've got, you know. That's not on your birth certificate. My friends, it's sinner. It's sinner. It's a name to be ashamed of. Sinner. But you know, my friends, however far off from God your walk and pathway was or is, however hard your old heart was or is, however rebellious you was against the ways of God, now or was or shall be, my friends, if he's known your name, if he's known your name, it's because it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, my friends, he'll call you by thy name. I have called thee by thy name. Oh, how blessed is that call. You'll never, my friends, you'll never know until you're called that you're one of his people. But he'll call you by the name, a sinner called by grace, and invincible grace, unchangeable grace. Oh, it's profitable, that calling, because it removes every comfort and hope of resting short. It will take away all that it is so often rested upon. We are the people of God. My friends, it will remove resting on anything short of a revealed Christ. And you will not be content with unless that is revealed. And you will not be content in this calling until you can stand upon that grand and glorious truth that Christ is indeed your blessed Redeemer in glory. I have called thee. Thou art mine. Well, my friends, this is beyond blessing. There's such a lovely hymn in our book. I often refer to it, and may I be forgiven for repetition, but it's got a sweet word in it for poor sinners. And it will be the comfort of your soul if you walk in it. Satan, avaunt, stand off, ye foes, in vain ye rail, in vain oppose. Your cancelled claim no more obtrude, he's mine. I bought him with my blood. So he became Christ. By calling, by choice, by God's eternal choice, by God's eternal love, and by God's eternal calling. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And as I said just now, these blessings and mercies which are in this first verse, my friends, are eternal verities. They will never be changed. But there we will leave it for the morning. The Lord grant that you and I may seek and find this blessing, and to the comfort of our souls possess it. Amen. Now the notices for the week are as follows. God's willing, there's a prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And Mr. Warboys is expected to preach here next Lord's Day. Closing hymn 957. Desponding mind, why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? He holds all nature in his hand, that gracious hand on which I live. Does life and time and death command and has immortal joys to give. Hymn 957.
Thank you.
thy blessing to rest upon thy word and thy forgiveness for all that has been amiss. Now be with us, Lord, and watch over us in the interval of worship. Gather us together in the evening of this day. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us now and forever. Amen.